Guardian Unlimited.
Malcolm Gladwell described Nassim Nicholas Taleb as a Wall Street dissident. Nassim's new book is called The Black Swan, The Impact of the Highly Improbable. In it, he says we should recognise that the future is by and large uncertain, and that we should recognise that there's a lot we don't understand. So what does he mean by a black swan?
Okay, a black swan is an event. I'm not talking about the bird. I'm talking about a black swan event. I'll tell you later why it has a link to the bird. A black swan is a very unexpected event. It has three properties. First, it's deemed of low probability before it takes place. Second, when it happens, it has severe and lasting consequences. And three, after the fact, although it was not predicted, it's almost always unpredictable. You think that, hey, it was easy to forecast beforehand. You know which lottery ticket you should have bought on the day after the drawing. So it has a posterior but not anterior predictability.
Why have you decided to call these events black swans? Okay.
Black swan, because first of all, the image of the bird on the book is something that can attract people. And also, I like to embed my ideas, and my idea is abstract and something very tangible, an object. So I took that old logical quandary of the story that no amount of white swan will ever be able to confirm that all swans are white, you see. And effectively, before the discovery of Australia, all swans that were witnessed until then were white. Till, of course, they had that ugly black bird. I'm told it's ugly, black bird that disproved centuries, or maybe more than centuries, of confirmation. So all you need is one event to change everything.
What was the significance of these black swans?
Well, I hold, and that's a very aggressive message. I hold that almost everything of significance in history, in medical discovery, in technology, in knowledge, in economic life, was a black swan. Okay.
So these include events such as the Second World War.
The First World War. Yeah. You can lump them together. It's the same war almost. The First World War was totally unexpected. I mean, people had a whole century of white swans. I mean, they said that old nut, Napoleon, he's gone. Europe is almost a quiet continent. Once in a while, you have tensions, and the tensions are resolved in some spa. He was an opera singer, okay? And that's it, okay? And nobody expected that war to be so severe and last that long.
So we're bad at making predictions.
We're horrible at making predictions because of black swan. There are domains in which you are very good at making predictions. For instance, theater opening hours, all right? We're very good at predicting. Short-term weather, we're okay, all right? Not great, okay. But anything involving economic life or social events, we're horrible at predicting. We're horrible at predicting bestsellers. We're horrible at predicting returns on technology. We're horrible at predicting medical discoveries.
If we're so bad at making predictions, why don't we realize that we're bad at making predictions?
Oh, that's the whole book. That's the whole book. I mean, it's very easy to establish that the black swan runs the world, but I had to go deeper and answer that question by introspecting. We say, why am I so stupid not to realize that everything that happened to me was so unpredictable before it happened and so highly predictable after it happened? Okay? So what is it that we do? So it turned out that we're a lot better at narrating than predicting. We're a lot better at narrating than understanding. And I call it the narrative fallacy.
You claim throughout the book that experts in most predictive fields are no better than the man in the street. So does global warming come under that category?
Well, global warming, and we know that there is global warming, that there's something going on in the weather, okay? What caused it, I don't know. But my big message in general is do no harm, don't disturb a complex environment, because we don't understand the link between action and consequence in a complex environment. So I don't know if we caused global warming, but let's not mess up the environment. And please don't listen to a scientist who wants to do something to cure global warming by acting on the environment, because they may do something worse, all right?
You urge the reader to avoid newspapers. You're setting the Guardian's office, not the Guardian. Apart from the Guardian, why should people avoid newspapers?
Actually, not English newspapers, because I love English newspapers. But the idea of high frequency information. I mean, of course, newspapers are good for gossip, for fun, to understand cultural life, for ideas. But when you get into the granularity, the high details of something, it's sort of makes you produce theories, okay? So a lot of data points. If instead of getting one block of information every 2 weeks, you get the same block piecemeal every 10 minutes, you're going to produce a lot more theories, okay? And the more theories you produce, the more married you are to your ideas, the more committed you are to your theories, and you start looking for confirmation of these theories. And that's a big problem we have.
But your book, The Black Swan, is written itself as a narrative, and yet this is the style that you're dismissive of in journalism.
Yes, this was the philosopher caught me from the beginning. They said, you know what, I'm catching you right-handed. You're dismissive of narratives. I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to, Gibbon, as Gibbon says about the emperor, the Heracles, who hired desert Arabs to fight the Arabs, right? And Heracles's point was only a diamond can cut a diamond, right? So you need a narrative to displace a narrative. And effectively, I picked a narrative. I told myself, listen, if I have a book that is abstract, read like a textbook, it's going to get great reviews because people will be able to skim through it, understand it quickly, and guess what? It will disappear like all these boring books. I'm going to make it as much fun as I can, all right? And as much of a narrative with vignettes and vivid vignettes as I possibly can.
Right. Isn't it true that in actual fact we're very good at predicting things? It's only when things go wrong that we get to hear about them. I mean, mathematicians predicted that Neptune existed before they observed it, and it turned out that they were right.
Yeah, there are domains. One I call Mediocristan, one I call Extremistan. Actually, it's the opposite. Effectively, we're not good at predicting, but mathematicians have a tendency to show you the instances in which their science or the science was able to use their applications. So effectively, we are not good in a complex environment. We are very good in a simple environment, but the simple environment plays no big consequential role anymore in daily life. We cannot predict. We can predict in quantum mechanics. We can predict, you know, how you can drop a pen from an airplane, and you can pretty much predict with a lot of precision how it's going to fall on the ground. It's the same. You know, we are very good in some domains, but people use them as example to generalize to all domains. We're horrible at wars. We're horrible at economic projects. We're horrible in technology. We're horrible in the things that really matter. Okay, not some star up out there that I don't really care about because it's not threatening my life.
The things that really matter, though, you say, are things that we don't know about. So what can we do to protect ourselves against these things?
Well, the first thing is to understand how to learn. We should learn how to produce policy based on ignorance. Now, medicine now is getting good at it, okay? Medicine is a great platform to learn how to generalize for society because they learn humility after the arrogance of since between Galen and recent clinical medicine, we had a lot of medical arrogance that we learned to deal with. And it will show us a way if we learn not from physics or from astronomy, because these sciences teach us arrogance, but from medicine that have learned humility, okay? We know how to produce policies out of ignorance. And, for example, next time you want to invade countries, I don't know if you guys are in that business, but if next time you want to invade countries, understand.
We have been known.
Yeah, okay. But understand that the duration of wars typically is uncontrollable, and their costs in human lives is always underestimated, almost always underestimated, except for one or two examples of the last 300 years.
Which actually does bring us on to Donald Rumsfeld, a man who was interested enough in one of your previous books, Fooled by Randomness, and the concept of known unknowns and unknown unknowns. I mean, look what happened to him. You know, do you think that he conducted his policy? Did you see and detect any signs of your ideas in the way he conducted his policy?
Well, in a book I have a lot of what I call domain dependence is people who are very good at solving a problem in a classroom but not in real life. He may have been prey to that deficit. Okay, which in other words, they understand the problem very well, but in conducting their affairs, they're not good at it.
You were in a previous role, a Wall Street trader.
Yes.
How could you apply the theory of the black swan to the markets?
Well, if you go in every day and wake up and say, I have no clue about markets, there's some risks you wouldn't take. Like, for example, you wouldn't be too exposed to vagaries of the stock market. And it's actually very simple. You just allocate a higher share of your portfolio to investments that have no risk, like treasury bills, bonds, gilts, and stuff like that, okay? Or bank accounts, and hire a security guard to watch your money, all right? So you'd have a bigger block, say 80%, 90% of your portfolio in investments that are resist any kind of calculation error, okay? And then you would take a lot more risk with the remaining 10, 15, or 5%, okay? This is what I would recommend. The other thing is to direct your attention to investments that are positive to the black swan. Because basically there are some investments like banks, okay, bad news hurt banks. Insurance companies, bad news hurt insurance companies, okay? But good news don't really, is asymmetric, don't help them that much. But there are some businesses like venture capital, like the book business, that are dominated by these outliers, these black swans, okay, that really constitute the bulk of profitability of the business. Medical research, biotech, technology, any business that has high content of research and development, okay, this outlier usually dominates it. So these businesses are direct more investment to these businesses in a far more diversified way.
And you mentioned the book market a couple of times. Would you care to make a prediction about whether this book's going to be a bestseller?
Okay. The only thing I can tell you that it sold enough copies now to already. The only thing is I'd be post-dicting, right? It sold a lot of copies in the States already. So, I mean, if it stops now, it will be a bestseller. So, but I was predicting a flop, okay? Simply because psychologically, it's much easier to predict the flop and take the rest as gravy, okay?
Nassim Nicholas Taleb, many thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Nassim Nicholas Taleb's book, The Black Swan, The Impact of the Highly Improbable, is published by Alan Lane.
Guardian Unlimited.